The U.S. Congress just sent a letter to Canada's public safety minister to warn him about a Canadian law, Bill C-22. We've talked about this before. It would force Apple, Meta, and your phone company to build a secret backdoor into all your encrypted data, not to mention tracking your location and keeping that data for an entire year. The Americans say it threatens U.S. national security. We're going to tell you why they're right. This is Access of Easy.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. We're branching off a little bit here from the normal one subject podcast. We're in big trouble. A lot of Canadian companies today tweeting about Bill C-22, how they're thinking about leaving the jurisdiction. Some non-Canadian companies, you know, principally Signal, talking about how they will leave Canada with their services. Apple's already threatened to or followed through with certain privacy products exiting the UK in the last few years. Tell me, man, where do you come down on all this? What are we thinking? What are we talking?
It's time for me to leave. I'll see you later. I'm done too.
It's the end of the show. Access of Easy. See you next week.
The Lawful Access Act, Bill C-22, Joey. What a beauty of a name. And they want this for a number of different reasons. And it's supposed to make things a little bit more difficult for criminals to hide their criminal activity, and it's also going to help out with lessening national security threats. The question is, how do they plan to achieve this with just simply enacting one bill? And while currently telecommunication providers, they're only able to provide information if they're served a court order. And this has been the way things have been done for a little bit over 10 years, actually since 2014, so 12 years since a Supreme Court of Canada ruling came out. So if they want to get information, if authorities want to get information, they got to go through the courts. The courts got to issue an order, and then the telecom communication provider could provide some information regarding a particular user. All right. Now they want to make it easier to get that information. And the information they're trying to get is, well, police, they want to get info for people if it's going to be helping them solve a crime or deal with a crime that is being committed.
Yeah.
Being committed is interesting. Okay, well, whatever. It goes further than that, though. It's not just simply that. They could also request information from service providers to build and maintain technical capabilities so that they could hand over data whenever served with a warrant. And so this is where stuff gets hairy for applications like Signal and other type of applications. And since they cannot force a company to introduce a systemic vulnerability, that's essentially getting access, some sort of front door access to something. So, well, what's going to happen here is Signal is going to close shop, it looks like, because Signal is not in a position to provide some front door access to bypass the encryption so that the government could get it. That's not their business model. They've left other countries like the UK and Canada, maybe the same things. C-22, it's what it's going to need is these core providers to retain metadata for you, as you mentioned, for up to 1 year. And the data includes who you messaged, when you message, the location. They're going to be using the IP of the cell tower of where it is it was done. And let's be honest, entire Signal's metadata, it's basically nothing. It's the date you registered, the last time you were there. So they don't have this information. So they don't have the ability to provide it, even if they're asking it. They have to pull this stuff out of thin air, and it's going to be fake. Maybe fake news is the name of the game these days. Either way, so the new bill is going to force them to change the way the app works, and it's going to force them to start logging data for Canadians on. Obviously, they're not going to want to do that. They're going to stop offering services to Canadians, at least advise Canadians to no longer use it. And here we go. And furthermore, how do these service providers get told they got to provide access? Well, the Minister of Public Safety, our friend Gary, he's the one, he could order them in secret to provide this information. This information will be kept keeping the public in the dark. You'll never know whenever these powers are used. Funny enough, committees right now in the Canadian government, they're trying to not provide that information to us, the taxpayers, the citizens, the temporary residents. Can't see it. They're trying to hide it. That information is hidden, but our information on our phones, they want total access to. I don't get it. So I don't hear anything from Pierre Poilievre on this. I'm not sure if you do, but it seems to be very quiet on this. And, you know, I understand they want to modernize the laws. They have to want to make it easier to deal with threats, especially as we transition to a more digital age. And these laws are ancient in comparison to what they want to have. But there could be a step too far here as a result of us. Let's not overlook the fact Gmail is not encrypted when you're sending it outside the Gmail system. Who the heck used Gmail back in the day? Oh, I know those people I talked to and dealt with. Epstein, right? Like, there people like those people they're not going after, but people like anybody that uses Signal, I'm not going to say who does, they are potentially criminals if they could provide us information at a moment's notice, or at least somebody else is going to provide it on their behalf. I don't get it. Sooner or later, VPNs is going to be put under the crosshairs of this. Furthermore, I just want to add one thing. Gary, the riding he represents is a neighboring riding to the one that Nate Erskine Smith tried to. So there seems to be a lot of stuff going on in Scarborough. Interesting stuff going on in Scarborough. I don't like this particular move. A lot of people don't like this particular move. But it seems like this is the way things are trending in Canada. Good luck getting this through. And I feel sorry for people that get impacted by this. Let's be honest. When they say for people that are committing crimes or people for crimes to be committed, their judgment, like you don't have to look very far in the past. Their judgment for enacting emergency act, two courts have decided they breached the public trust by doing that. They're the ones that are going to be the judge, jury, and executioner on when they're going to be enacting this.
Yeah.
Their judgment has already been proven in the courts to be terrible. And it's in a way that impacted people's lives negatively. The same thing with this. I feel bad.
This is it's troubling. Troubling that some of the brightest and honestly most honest and impartial legal minds, Fraser and Geist, are trying to stay neutral on this. They're trying not to, you know, it seems to me, lose their minds over this legislation, but they're having a difficult time. There's one thing you didn't mention that we should talk about before we talk about the sort of repercussions and some of the arguments these guys are making that really do fall apart pretty quickly. This is not limited to phones. This is a law that applies to any electronic service provider. So what is an ESP? That's in the law. You'll notice this term, this phrasing a bunch. An ESP is, of course, a phone provider, cell phone provider, you know, Rogers, TELUS, Apple, Google, whatever. These guys provide either the network or the device itself, both captured. We've spoken on this program before about what it means for stuff like Linux, what it means for stuff like Windows and Mac, presumably the same things. But the bigger thing for me is something that's been, it's been in the news, although sparingly, for the last 10 years, maybe a bit more than that, actually. What about other electronic devices like fridges, TVs, you know, Apple HomePods, Google Alexa from Amazon, you name it, you know, your microwave, whatever, your thermostat, Len, you know, all these different things that are going to presumably carry metadata. We know that these things record voice. We know that they're wakeable through voice commands. So even when they're not listening, they're still listening. What is the requirement for those? I suspect it's going to be just as overreaching and just as alarming. The government's trying to make the case in Canada, and this is also the case abroad, that this is to protect kids. I spoke about this with Tom Carrazza on the Your Life, Your Term show, which came out today, actually. I thought it's not a long conversation in terms of this subject, but it comes up basically everywhere now. The rationale for these laws is always the same as protecting kids. We've discussed that on this program too. It's just such an obvious lie. It's such an obvious lie. The idea that your phone is going to become this like 1 year location tracking database, and that you can be dug into further via secret warrant without being notified, without being able to defend yourself. And then once the warrant is in place, it actually can't be reviewed. You can apparently review the process around some of these things, but once the process is completed, they're basically cemented. That's so dicey. It's so dicey in a world where clearly the power of persuasion has escaped, you know, the genie's out of the bottle in terms of some of the policy coming down. And so the idea that you're going to continue to try and convince people that you're correct about economic policy, immigration policy, whatever, pick your hot button issue. There's plenty of them to go around. It's not necessary if you're able to squash dissent this way. And if you look at some of the people who've signed off on this, you can kind of get a feeling for who is going to benefit from it. The Canadian Association of University Teachers, Canadian Muslim Public Affairs Council. These are the guys, who are opposed. Canadian Council for Refugees, Canadian Center for Free Expression, the International Civil Liberties Monitoring Group, not to mention, as we talked about in the open and as you brought up, the Americans now have a pretty keen eye on this. The Americans talking about how this is a threat to public free expression, to public safety in some respects, and unfairly targets Canadians who are not committing any crimes. They don't view that as democratic. Well, you've seen what happens when the US doesn't view something as democratic, and when they think that something that's likely to damage them at home or abroad becomes a front door issue. This, of course, at the same time that we will be importing unlimited amounts of Chinese cars, letting kids spend unlimited amounts of time on iPads in schools, letting kids absorb unlimited amounts of social justice nonsense and propaganda from educational quote-unquote professionals in their lives, at a time when we are poisoning the food supply, at a time when everything on TV is finely tuned to destroy attention spans and melt the brains of children, at a time when kids are targeted by advertisers, at a time when parents are targeted by advertisers as well. There's nothing about protecting kids that's evident here. It's all about identifying people on the internet and squashing dissent. You mentioned VPNs, and I should point out that Windscribe, which is a Canadian VPN, put out a tweet today, quote tweeting actually the Globe and Mail about this bill and how VPNs are going to wind up in the crosshair. And they're saying that, you know, unlike Signal, who has just a server here or something, maybe they can just shut the server down. Windscribe and other companies are domiciled here. And so they've been paying taxes all this time to what they call a corrupt government in their tweet. And they say, look, you know, we're not going to keep operating here. We're going to have to re-domicile and you guys are going to be on your own. I think that's probably true, unfortunately, at some point in the not too distant future. Now, the question about VPNs is a more broad one. You know, how long can this go on before reasonable people say too much? And I think the bigger question is, will it matter what reasonable people say? It seems to me like we're finding ourselves in an environment where no matter what the issue is, the more serious and more wide ranging and the more impact this issue has on average voters, the less you hear about it during campaigns, the less it's discussed. This bill was, I believe, pushed through Parliament. Do I have that right? I believe it was this time around, right?
It's on the second reading of Bill C-20.
Yes. Minister Fraser, I think, said, you know, we're not going to waste time debating this. We can't let perfect be the enemy of good. We have to get this through. I mean, you can make it that what you will. Okay, so let's talk about some of the steel man, I guess. I mean, there's things these guys are saying that we should be okay with, I suppose, in their view. One is that C-22 is an improvement over C-2, so the sort of first form of this bill back in 25. And, you know, Michael Geist, friend of the show, says exactly correct, that C-2 is not the relevant legislation here. The current law is the relevant legislation. That is the comparison we should be making. And under no circumstances, in no one's eyes, is this a better law than what we have now. It's an overreach. And to, you know, quote the Minister Fraser, this is an example of them trying to make perfect the enemy of good, right? They have something good here. They can't get everything they want, and they can't track everyone at all times. They can't build back doors into secure networks. And so instead they try and legislate it. There's obviously the angle that police are having trouble solving cases because they can't get this data. But you mentioned you can get the data. The only problem is that you need to apply for a warrant to get it. This data is available if you have a warrant, but you can't just go around asking service providers for stuff without notifying people or without proper investigative checks and balances. And to that end, you know, maybe point 2A is people say, well, this stuff's already legal. This is just codifying it, you know, a little further. I would say that the difference is you can challenge these things in a court right now, where, as I mentioned earlier, once something like this passes, you lose that ability. The sort of democratic pushback is gone for you. The idea that this is like a necessary thing to catch up with the Five Eyes group is another kind of common rebuttal from the people who are pushing this. But I would just pose to those people, you know, what about this law and what about those countries do we want to mimic here? Well, what have those countries gotten right in any sphere, economic, social, justice, you name it? Like, what have they gotten right that we want to copy? Why are we trying to make the same mistakes, cause the same problems, you know, end up with the same results? We have lost the plot, man. We have lost the plot. And I know in Bitcoin, there's a very keen and very healthy libertarian sovereign spirit. And the Bitcoiners, I've already discovered ways to navigate this that'll, at least in the interim, allow for continued private messaging, continued VPN use, stuff like that. But I think this is a significant, it's a phase shift in what to expect from the government. The next phase shift, I would say, is who is the person they're going to put on TV first as someone who violated these laws and tried to preserve their personal privacy. That will be the next thing. It'll almost certainly be a political activist who is anti-narrative. I just don't know who.
Yeah, imagine if you're driving and then the police stop you for whatever reason, just even a random check, ride check for to see if you're drinking. And then, well, you know what? Search your car, do everything. Like, you don't have the right, you know?
Yeah,
you got to have the paperwork in order to legal suspicion or something. Like, they can't do that. So if they could do that to anybody, if they say they start doing that to everybody out there and it happens to, you know, junk you public, they can't say, oh, this is a good thing, because then they'd be subjected to this and it's crap. And that's the digital version of that. And why I understand laws need to be modernized, but you know,
it's too much.
Exactly that. Exactly. Yeah. And if you think that, you know, that they're doing it for our best intentions or like, this is a totally different topic altogether, but just something that's so very relevant. It's what's going on in Alberta. They duly had enough signatures to present them to the Alberta government to say, let's go ahead and have a referendum. And then some judge decides, you know what? You didn't consult
the Indians.
People should have been consulted.
Yeah.
Like, you're changing the rules as they go along, you know, but whatever, this is the way things are. And you see the way things are trending.
Yeah.
What could you do is do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, like you got to figure out a way around this stuff. And if you're ready to re-domicile, now's the time to start thinking about that as well. Although I have to be honest, the number of places where this is not happening, those countries are not necessarily particularly pleasant places to live. But at the end of the day, I would suggest two things to people. Number one, don't panic. And number two, oftentimes in Bitcoin, we talk about making sure that you're securing your Bitcoin in a way that you would secure it at 10 times the value, not because necessarily, you know, you're going to wind up in that situation. You may spend it for all you know, or lose it somehow, but because when you need to start learning these things, it's going to be too late. It's going to be hard, you know, to spin up a sovereign home server or to find a way to access a VPN or to find a way to message privately when these laws start to roll out in earnest. So learn stuff like, you know, Jitsi Meet, learn stuff like Session, learn stuff like the Fedimint black box comms, the Federation black box comms and Bitcoin. Learn things like, you know, dare I say, like ham radio. These things are not pretty. They're not perfect, and the UI leaves something to be desired. But this is the time to start thinking about how the next decade looks for you in terms of your privacy and your sovereignty, because you know how they want it to look. So you decide how far you're willing to be pushed.
And do it now when things are calm.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to tap into previous knowledge, even in times of duress, and just go back muscle memory and just do it again. Yep. If you do it now when it's, you know, nothing is going on around you, you're able to focus and just do it right, you're not going to fumble and do it wrong when things are hairy and you got to rush through things because you already done it many times. So make a practice of doing things once a month or some other time, you know, every few weeks, whatever it may be, just do it and make it a practice, redo it, because you never know when you have to do it in a very difficult time and who knows how quick. So
totally
practice,
totally.
practice.
Yeah. Visit ready.ca, find your tribe there. People who are, you know, aligned with you and have resources and are high resolution, high agency, like you are, if you listen to this show. Anyway, that's all we got for tonight. So thank you for watching. Don't forget to like the video, subscribe to the video, the channel, and also visit accessofeasy.com for more of the latest and greatest in data breach and overreach. And my name is Joey. That is Len. And we'll see you next time.
Take care.